The word is in season. We read on further. Moses wrote all the words of the Lord and rose up early in the morning and builded an altar under the hill and 12 pillars according to the 12 tribes of Israel. And he sent young men of the children of Israel, which offered burnt offerings, sacrificed peace offerings of oxen unto the Lord. And Moses took half of the blood and put it in basins, and half the blood he sprinkled on the altar. And he took the book of the covenant and read in the audience of the people, and they said, all that the Lord hath said will we do and be obedient. The word of God is in season. Please notice now on these two occasions, going back to the first one, it is the verbal transmission first that Moses receives, passes on to the people. They affirm their willingness to abide. On the second occasion, that verbal transmission is now documented. It is a matter of record. Again, they affirm their willingness to obey the word of God here in season. Moses took the blood, sprinkled it on the people, and said, behold, the blood of the covenant which the Lord hath made with you concerning all these words. Now, you know that the New Testament passage, I believe it's in the book of Hebrews, chapter 10 and verse, somewhere between 25 and 28, where it talks about those who have crucified afresh the Lord. I'm not sure if that I'm in the right passage or not. But that link in the New Testament comes right back to this. And I point that out because here is a blood covenant made. It is not a thing that you enter into lightly. It is not a thing that you enter into with any sniff of indifference. It is only entered into by anybody with seriousness of mind and a honest resolve to do what God has said. So we go on down further. Then it says in verse 9, then went up Moses and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel. And please notice in verse 10 what they see. They saw the God of Israel, and there was under his feet, as it were, a paved work of a sapphire stone. This is one of the few places in the scripture where God has been viewed by more than one or two people simultaneously. They all saw God. And a description here matches pretty close, at least by intimation, with what you read in the book of Daniel, what you read in the book of Revelation, indicating that the God that they see here is the same God that we find the Apostle John making observations about, and the same God that Daniel made observations about, the same God that Isaiah the prophet makes observations over. They saw under his feet, as it were, a paved work of sapphire stone, and as it were, the body of heaven in his clearness. And upon the nobles of the children of Israel, he laid not his hand. Also, they saw God and did eat and drink. What an amazing revelation that these people see God, following upon a positive affirmation to obey his word, whether it was verbally transmitted or whether it is in written, documented form. And so we read again that in verses 12 through the end of the chapter, that the Lord said to Moses, come up to me to the mount and be there, and I will give thee tables of stone and a law and a commandment which I have written, that thou mayest teach them. So you have an instance here in Exodus 24 of when the word is in season. Very simple to understand that when the word is in season, people obey. People obey. And God blesses with, in this particular case, he blessed the people with an opportunity to see him like few other people have ever before or since have seen God. Now we see God by way of the eye of faith, as we shall see him one day face to face. We shall see him, for we shall be like him. Now, inasmuch as that is a sample of the word of God being in season, that's the kind of word you preach. That is the expectation that those who preach and teach the word of God, whether it's the pastor or the parent and anybody in between, that's the expectation that they have in preaching. That as the word falls upon the ears of those who would hear, that they would manifest an obedient spirit. Now, on the other hand, when the word is out of season, you also have some things to consider. I want you to turn in to the New Testament, to Matthew 21. Matthew 21. And even as the word of God is apparently out of season, we would consider this, that the Lord today is treated in many places, even within the church family, with casual indifference. You come to Matthew 21, and you have these words as we get on down through into verse 33 and the verses that follow. In the form of a parable. Matthew 21, verse 33. Here another parable. A certain householder planted a vineyard, hedged it, digged it, a wine press, and built a tower, let it out, rent it to a husbandman, and went into a far country. When the time of the fruit drew near, he sent his servants to the husbandman, that they might receive the fruits of it. I mean, he's only looking to reap what would accrue to the landowner is rightfully his. The husbandman took his servants, beat one, killed another, and stoned another. And again, he sent other servants more than the first, and they did unto them likewise. But the last of all, he sent unto them his son, saying, they will reverence my son. Not. The word of God out of season. Literally, if we follow the line of thinking in the parable. They will reverence my son. But when the husbandmen saw the son, they said among themselves, this is the heir, come let us kill him and let us seize on his inheritance. And they caught him and cast him out of the vineyard and slew him. The word of God is out of season. Now that was the son of the landowner. And in the form of the parable, we would understand that God the Father, who has the title, the deed, to the entire planet is the owner. We would understand in the parable by way of application that the son whom he said when upon sending him, they will reverence my son. That is likewise typified in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, who when he did come, he was not accepted by the brethren. They did not reverence him. As a matter of fact, they did kill him. They did cast him out. They treated him with more than casual indifference. They treated him with concentrated hostility. May I suggest to you today that when we speak of the Word of God being out of season, we think of the Word of God in two forms. The Word of God in bodily form, the incarnated Christ, who is the head of the church. And we think also of the inscripturated Word, that which the Spirit of God guided in the oversight, in the writing. So when we say that the Word of God is out of season, we mean the Lord Himself and His decrees, His Word. And may I just draw this line of intimation along with it. I think that there is a number of ways in which the Word of God can be said to be out of season. If in any way the head of the church is treated with at least casual indifference, is it not that the Word is out of season? Where then in the church community is the head of the church treated with such casual indifference? He is treated in that fashion probably in the privacy of people's homes when they ignore His Word, literally. Is probably, the Word of God is probably out of season whenever the opportunity to speak the Word or stand for the Word is passed aside. He is probably treated with some kind of indifference and shown contempt whenever those who have been redeemed by His precious blood fail to present themselves for worship. The Word of God is out of season. And yet the apostle says, preach the Word. In season, out of season. When it's in season, you have certain expectations. It's not that you don't when it's out of season, but there are more proof positive diagnostics that lead or give indication of a problem. There's also another passage in the next chapter, 22. He speaks again in parables at verse 1. He said, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king which made a marriage for his son. And he sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden or invited to the wedding, and they would not come. And again he sent forth other servants, saying, tell them which are bidden, behold, I have prepared my dinner. Hey, what more is the Lord, through the Holy Spirit, saying to his children on every occasion where there is an opportunity to be fed from the Word of God? Come, I prepared my dinner. And listen, if he doesn't, and all it is K rations, who wants any of that? But always his dinners are prepared fresh. My oxen, my fatlings are killed. Now that's as fresh as you can get. That's what you call from the hoof to the grill. That's fresh. All things are ready. Come unto the marriage. But look at verse 5. When the Word of God is out of season, they made light of it and went their ways. One to his farm, another to his merchandise. And the remnant took his servants and entreated them spitefully and slew them. They made light of the Lord's invitations. Everyone goes his own way. Sort of like what we read in the book of Judges. There was a time where every man did that which was right in their own eyes. So it is today, even as it was then. They who go their own ways are typically said to be out of the way. They're out of the way. And yet, a bit of humility is in order, because the Scriptures teach us too that all we like sheep have gone astray. At one time or another, all we like sheep have gone astray. And our great high priest is said to have compassion on the ignorant, according to Hebrews 5, verse 2. The psalmist speaks of the father being pitiful toward his dusty children in Psalm 104. And so we need to keep in mind that that we too, like they who are out of the way, are often compassed with infirmity ourselves. And we do well to learn from this admonition that whether the Word of God is in season or out of season, we are obliged to obey, preach it. Mothers, fathers, grandparents, pastors, teachers, missionaries, neighbors. I mean, most neighborhoods that our people live in, the Word of God is not in season. Don't let that intimidate you. Don't shy away from it. Keep preaching it. Keep declaring it. Keep living it. God has promised to us in the prophets. He said, that His word will never, ever return void. It will accomplish the point and the purpose for which He decreed it. Would you pray with me? Lord, we ask Your blessings upon the remainder of our time that we have together. Some will be at prayer, and the rest will be deliberating in meeting. And we pray, dear Heavenly Father, that yet there might be a blessing that will be heaped upon those for whom we intercede tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.